Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had quite a week this week. It is unfortunate a young man was killed. He had just got home from the service. Him and his wife both was in the service. And he was shot down at his front door. And what they're saying is that the young man's wife set it up and killed. She's been arrested along with another young man. And we don't have all the details as of yet. But we're very concerned about this because it's very unusual. The guy has been gone. He was a sergeant in the United States Army. He was coming. He was home on leave, visiting his parents, him and his wife and his little baby. And on New Year's Eve, he was shot down and killed. At first, they didn't have any suspects. It was done in St. Joe County, which is not really St. Rochester, St. Joseph Township, which is not Benton Harbor, but it's right on the other side of the street. Benton Harbor is on one side, and St. Joe Township is on the other side, and he was shot down. It's unfortunate. Right off of Colfax. In Napier Avenue. But we have to change the way we do business. It's so much is going on today. We don't realize it. We have a court system that's so corrupt that nobody seems to care. Most of our brothers and sisters doesn't mean a thing to them until something happens to a member of their family. Then they're ready to fight. They are ready to drop everything, and they want you to drop everything to help them fight. That's what they want to do. But as long as their neighbor's child, their neighbor's husband, their neighbor's daughter, they really don't care. They don't care. We got a court system. We got judges over there. Dennis Wiley, straight up racist. We got Art Carter, straight up racist. Scopel, he's gone. He was a born racist. We have a group over there now, Sterling Sharrock, straight up racist. Prosecutor Mike Sepik, born racist. But they don't really care, the people in the community, because it doesn't affect them unless their child, their husband, their sister, their brother is in trouble. And I tell you, the police are going around every single day trying to harass people, trying to get people to do things that they have never done before. See, what we need is a real revolution. We need a revolution. We need a to make sure, because there's never, ever, ever going to be a change without a revolution. I can't think of no time in history where someone has given up their power if they didn't think that you could take it. They won't do it. Why would they do it? Why would I give up all my power if I was not certain? And I'm riding, they're riding to the court, you know. There's no good in them at all. You know, you got 545 people working together against the whole country, and the country don't even know it. You need a revolution. You need a revolution where people will stand up and stand together against this corruption. We need a revolution to stand up against these billionaires who don't care about the people. They don't care whether you live or die. The food you eat, all kind of plastic in your food and stuff like that. You got people actually trying to kill you, and you don't know it. Healthcare is out of control. They're using body parts now. Yes, they are. They're actually going with a cold, going with even pneumonia now. Now, there's a strong possibility that you won't be coming out. This is the world that we live in today. Everybody is expendable in the eyesight of the billionaires. They're making money off of you every single day. You know, I remember when it took 15 people to make a washer, to 15 people to make a dryer. Today, you can make 15 washers. You can make 15 dryers with one person. It used to take 50 people to make an automobile. Now you can make 50 automobiles with one person. Amazing. The problem is, who's going to buy these cars? Who are going to buy them? Those 49 people that's no longer working, those was the people who was buying the car. Those other 14 people, those are the people buying the washers and dryers. You see, nowadays, the issue is, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? What are you going to do and what are you going to say to protect the future of your children? It's time that you reach out and get something amazing. We're fighting, and we're fighting back at all costs. The problem is, it's not enough of the people that's fighting back. Most people, if they got a house or apartment, living with their mama, got a little job, got them a car, they don't really care. And that's what they want. See, they want everybody to be fighting with each other. As long as you're fighting with each other, they don't care. We have to change the way we do business. We have to come together. In my eyesight, it doesn't matter whether you're black, white, brown, red, yellow, polka dot, don't make a difference. We all must come together and fight this monster. We must stand up to them. We can no longer accept what they're dishing out. They got people thinking that this fight, this shutdown, is about a wall. It's bigger than a wall. It's letting you know what they can do, when they can do. They can shut you down anytime they want to. Anytime. Amazing. The most amazing thing, we accept this. Anytime that you accept it, you're saying it's okay. Nobody's saying nothing. The 800,000 people who didn't get a paycheck on Friday, you're saying, that's them. They didn't get a paycheck. You see, I got mine. So you really don't really care. Next month when people don't get their food stamps, what are you going to say then? That's if you're one of the ones that don't get your food stamps. What are you going to say? Healthcare, Medicaid, Medicare. What's next? That's the question. What is next? That is the question. We have to stop all this nonsense and start standing up and fighting back. You know, here's something that I want to talk about a little bit. In Louisiana, in order for a person to be convicted and sent to prison, they do not take all 12 of the jurors. They have what they call 10-2. If 10 say yes, you're guilty, and two say you're not guilty, that means you go to prison. Only place in the whole United States where they're saying this. Amazing. I have my good friend, Belinda Brown, from Slidell, Louisiana. She's on the line. She's going to tell us about this. She's just a tremendous warrior. She's a strong fighter. She's been fighting for years. And here's the good news. She knows how to fight. She understands exactly what is going on here in America. She understands what's going on in Louisiana. A lot of people just don't care. We have to change the way we think and the way we do business. We have to show the world that we are together on one accord. That would intimidate this country. If they found out that the people were together on issues rather than fighting each other, can you imagine what that would do to them? That would change everything. You see, it would be no longer talking about we're fighting over a wall and you're supposed to believe that. See, that's the bad part. See, it's bigger than that. It's way bigger than that. What will it be next? What will it be next? What will it be next? Wow. Wow, amazing. But on that note, let me bring in my good friend, my girl, from Slidell, Louisiana. Yes, Slidell.
Yes,
who would believe me? Slidell, Louisiana.
Yes,
in the
indeed.
The deepest part of the South. My good friend, Belinda Brown. Belinda Brown, are you there?
Yes, I am here, Pastor Pickney. I am here, and I'm telling you, this is a great day, a great opportunity to just listen to some of the atrocities that we're facing in the world today. But to have people like you that will give people the opportunity to have their voices heard means so much to me, Pastor Pickney. So I want to thank you for allowing me to come on your show today. And I'm hoping that my friend, Mr. Lloyd Kelly, I had text you his name and number, so we can get him on, you know, on the line too as well, so we can talk about what really happening here in the state of Louisiana that is a disgrace, it's a shame to our society, and we're not going to tolerate it. And with people like you supporting us, Pastor Pickney, we know that we're going to win this fight.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? Here's the good news. We can win. See, a lot of times people don't quite understand that we can actually win this fight. We have to take control, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's always going to be some who's not going to be willing to make a sacrifice and stuff like that. But the biggest sacrifice is you don't make the sacrifice. That's the problem. Because you could
right.
be next. You know, and this is what people need to understand. You know, you're not exempt from this, you know, just because, some some white folks will say, oh, that'll never happen to me. It'll happen to you too, you know.
Absolutely.
And black people always think that it's not going to happen to them. It's going to happen because I would never do that. You never know. You know, you never know. Who will believe, you know? So I'm excited, and I do have your friend. I got your text on the line. So I'm going to start with you first, though.
Okay,
I want you to
go
talk,
right ahead.
Set the stage for us. Tell us, you know, today what is actually going on down there, and also we're gonna talk about that 10-2 too, because to me that's crucial. That's something that's very, you're the only one I believe in the whole United States that has a 10-2 down there. I'm not positive, but you'll tell me. You talk to me. Tell me.
Well, I'm ready to tell you about it, Pastor Pickney, and I want all of our listeners to really tune in, because right now we're on something hot and burning, and the whole world needs to know about what's transpiring here in the state of Louisiana. And I'm here to tell you, Pastor Pickney, like you have always taught us, you know, and you was one of my greatest, you know, teachers, that we have to fight back. We have to fight back, and we're in a fight right now, and I'm telling you, and our sleeves is rolled up, and we're ready to go head up with this fight that we're in, because Louisiana can set the model or the example for the whole world to see what happened when people stand up and fight back, and that's what we're looking at right now. I want the listeners to know that, you know, understand a little bit about this non-unanimous verdict. I know you hit a little bit on it, you know, talked about the 10-2. But the first thing I want to share with the listeners, Pastor Pickney, is that, you know, they got to get it all the way right. And that's what we're saying. Get it all the way right. In November, we were successful. Louisiana United, you know, some grassroots organization that was moving across the state of Louisiana to saying that we're not going to tolerate this 10-2 verdict where, you know, you can be sentenced to life in prison with a 12-panel jury, but only 10 of them have to come back and say that you're guilty, and 2 can say not guilty, which would be a hung jury according to our Constitution. But in the state of Louisiana, and I think it was only one other state in the country that does this, was, and I think it's Iowa and Louisiana, was that you can be sentenced to life in prison if 10 of the jurors came back and said that you were guilty. And this is the crime, because according to our Constitution, you have to be tried by a jury of your peers, and in order for you to be sentenced to life in prison, you would have to have a 12-jury vote. So this was a direct violation of our guaranteed 14th Amendment right to equal protection of the law under the United States Constitution. So the state of Louisiana, you know, they concocted and schemed up this law, okay, that they would that scheme up the non-unanimous jury law that would sentence people to life in prison with just 10 people saying that you're guilty. Now, Pastor Pickney, now you know the chances are that you've been a part of jury selection, you know, you've been tried and convicted, you know, wrongfully, and so you know how difficult it is to pick a jury in the first place, and chances are, you know, you may get 2 blacks on the jury panel, okay? So you're not being tried by a jury of your peers, and then we, you know, the people here in Louisiana was always constantly being threatened that, you know, you better take this plea or else we're going to put you in front of an all-white jury and give you life. So, you know, that was a fear that made people just, you know, it was a bone-chilling fear that people had, so that they would, you know, before they would take the chance of going in front of, you know, an all-white jury, they would plead guilty to stuff that they didn't even do. And we got people sitting in prison right now, Pastor Pickney. But I want to say, to make it real clear, and this is what the people need to know, that in November of last year, 2018, we were successful to get this godforsaken law changed. So I am proud to say, with the hard work that we did with many, many others, and got a 64% vote against the unanimous jury, and so we no longer have that here in the state of Louisiana. But catch this. This is the problem, and this is the reason why the case that we're talking about now, and I'm hoping when Mr. Lord Kelly, tune in, that we're going to be able to break it down and get the people to really understand why we need everybody to stand with us to help Mr. Earl Victor. You know about Mr. Victor's case, Pastor Pickney. He have been on your show many times, you know, talking from the belly of the beast and telling his story about how him and his wife was railroaded through the St. John the Baptist Parish, kangaroo, Jim Crow, lynching courtroom. It's sad, Pastor Pickney. It's really sad.
Oh, absolutely.
That this man is doing life in prison for a crime he did not commit. But this is the opportunity that we have now. Not only him, but we have vetted over 2,000 other cases right now, people that are serving 10-2 sentences. If we don't stand up and fight this case right now, they would die in prison. Unless, listen, Pastor Pickney, unless we force them to get it right. They passed the law, but they did not make it retroactive. So that all the people that is on direct appeal right now will have another chance to either get a fair trial or be immediately released. And this is what we want for Mr. Victor. We want Mr. Victor to win this case because his case is the only case that's being heard in regards to the conviction that he never got in a fair trial. He never got. He never got because it was never intended to give this man a fair trial in the first place because I was there. We were there. And I saw when the jury came out and they told the judge that we cannot reach a verdict, the judge forced them to go back in there and deliberate. And she said, and don't come back out until you get a verdict. So when they came back out, it was only 10 of them that said that he was guilty. And 2 said that they could not reach a verdict, and they did not believe that Mr. Victor was guilty. And he is sitting in prison right now. Him and his wife, they gave his wife 40 years, and they gave him life. And Mr. Victor is fighting for his life right now, and this is the opportunity to show that the state of Louisiana schemed this law in favor of the corrupt criminal justice court system so that they can lock up as many black, well, African-American men as they possibly can, and that's the reason why Louisiana have been known across the world as the highest incarceration place, the worst place, you know, the worst prison. Angola was named as the bloodiest prison in the world. It's all a part of their scheme, and we're here as a force for justice that's moving and shaking the state of Louisiana to expose this kind of injustice, Pastor Pickney. So with that said, I want you to see if you can bring on my friend, Mr. Kelly, so we can talk a little bit more about why Mr. Victor's case is being heard before the Supreme Court judge right now, an ad hoc judge, that we have an opportunity to win for Mr. Victor.
Absolutely, absolutely. I would definitely do so. Can you tell me the date of that hearing that's going to be for the case?
Yes, Pastor Pickney. Not only did I want to tell you the date, I also want to thank you because Sandy said that you were in Detroit yesterday and you guys had an outstanding event that you spoke very powerful and it was, you know, it was great. And you know, I wish I could have been there. But I'm telling you right now, I got my, you know, my hands in the fire and my feet in the trenches, and we're fighting for this law to be retroactive, and that, you know, all the people that are setting in prison right now, Pastor Pickney. They need justice. But the other thing is that Sandy did call me, and that we're going to be getting in touch with Ted Quant, that is at Loyola University. I know you remember Ted. He's a very good friend of ours. And then Sandy also said that she's going to reach out to some other, you know, powerful connections that can help us put some traction, you know, to what to this movement, because we're calling this, a new era of a civil rights movement for justice for the people that are in, you know, that are in prison, you know, under this this Jim Crow law. And I'm excited about the fact that she's said that we're going to do everything we can to get you down here for that date. And not only that we want you to be here for that date, we also is planning to have a mass call out, and it's what is called call out, but we know we have over 1,000 people that are going to, you know, awaiting us to come to Angola Penitentiary, the state prison here in Louisiana. And we're looking forward to, you know, visiting them and being a part of that call out along with Mr. Victor and many, many others that are going to be there to stand with us and support the cause.
Amen.
So that date is March the 18th. It's March the 18th.
Okay.
And it's going to be in La Place, Louisiana.
Okay. Very good. All right. And how far is that from Slidell?
That is about, I want to say it's about 50 miles from Louisiana. It's not that far. It's right on the other side of New Orleans. So it's about 35 minutes on the other side of New Orleans. And it's a real easy drive, you know. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm excited because I'm looking forward to you, Dorothy, and some other, you know, friends, and hopefully we would be able to get national news attention, because this is the only case that's being heard, and Mr. Victor's is that case.
Hey, very good. Well, listen, before I forget, also, I'm going to be on TV in Chicago on TV 21 at 7 o'clock tonight.
Okay.
What I'm going to do is I won't be able to do it today, but what my goal is that I'm going to announce it in Chicago, too, to see can we get some help from some of the people, like Sandy, by her being in Chicago. She will help us make this happen. But in the meantime, let me bring in Mr. Lord Kelly, because I think it's time that we bring him in so he can give us talk to us a little bit more about it. So the people that's listening, we have a tremendous listening audience today. People look like they're from everywhere, according to the board. But let me say that, Mr. Lord Kelly, are you there?
I am, Pastor Pickney. Thank you for having me on today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Anytime that you know that Melinda Brown tells me that she got someone special to come on, we're all ears. We're just so happy to have you, Mr. Kelly, because we're fighting a real war here. This is no conflict. This is the real deal. And we got to figure out a way how we can bring people together to take a stand for what is right. One of the biggest issues that we have, we're so divided up that, you know, and here's another weapon they use, where they keep us busy doing different things. And everybody, if you talk to them, they're, I'm too busy. I'm too busy doing this. I'm too busy doing that. When sometimes we just have to sit down and come together and become a real force. On that note, Mr. Kelly, tell us what you want to talk about today.
Okay. Before I get started talking about what's going on in Louisiana with regard to Mr. Victor and 10-2, I want everybody in the audience to know who is actually on the line today. Belinda Parker Brown, when she says we're going to win this, she means it, and she can back it up. Folks down here know her very well. Due to her work, a prosecutor, a sheriff, and a coroner have either been indicted or sent to prison because of her work. So I want everybody to understand this is no joke, and we can win this because we have the right people on our side. So I just wanted to start with that.
Hey, and you know, that's great information. Believe me, it is.
Secondly, with Mr. Victor, Mr. Victor's case right now is so very, very important. Hopefully one day you'll invite us back to really get into the intricacies of his case, because some of the stuff that happened was just unbelievable. But what's important is March 18th. And if the judge goes along with our position on March 18th, 1,000 to 2,000 people will have to be let go. The issue is that, as Belinda explained, the new law, the change to our Constitution began January 1st, 2019. However, they did not make it retroactive to cases that people that had been convicted without a unanimous jury. But what they did not address is the fact that there were cases with open appeal. So technically, mm-hmm. under our legal system, if you have an open appeal going, you don't have a conviction. And I would just point you to the Enron case. If you'll remember that, the CEO of Enron was convicted and then filed an appeal and 2 weeks later died. And they had to vacate the conviction because he was not convicted, and therefore he was no longer able to fight his case, so they had to vacate the conviction. It is the same principle here. Mr. Victor and about somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 other people have open appeals that on January 1, 2019. So our position is you either have to retry them or you have to let them go.
Absolutely. Mr. Kelly, let me say this to you. It appears to me that you have a great case here. Who is the attorney that's handling this?
Well, let me talk about that for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the nature of Mr. Victor's case and where it was, we have had all kinds of trouble getting people involved in his case. And it just happened that this man has been fighting almost by himself to keep these appeals alive, that his hearing is the first one in the state to come up. So we have to get people behind him. And just let me explain some of the things that happened in his trial. Mr. Victor, the judge forfeited several let me say this first. Mr. Victor was the most successful real estate developer in St. John the Baptist Parish, Louisiana. Now, the fact that you probably never heard of St. John the Baptist Parish, Louisiana, probably gives you an idea of what we're talking about, the kind of place that it is. But he was the most successful. Okay, the number two, are you ready for this? The number two most successful real estate developer in St. John the Baptist Parish just happened to be married to the judge in Mr. Victor's case. Yeah. Okay, so on the day that the trial started, Belinda Parker Brown called me at 6 o'clock in the morning and asked me would I go to court with her today. I thought it was dealing with the prosecutor that we were talking about. Get in the car, and she says, oh, no, this is a murder case in St. John the Baptist Parish. I had never heard of Mr. Victor. I had never met Mr. Victor, never talked to Mr. Victor. By 10:45, and we were not able to get him an attorney for his trial until the night before his case was to start. The Sunday night before the Monday morning the case was supposed to start was when we were able to sign an attorney onto the case because they had bankrupted him. So when the attorney gets there, he asked the Judge Mary Becknell if he could have 7 days to get himself prepared for the case. She told him, if you're not ready to go to trial today, then I suggest you recuse yourself because the trial is starting as scheduled.
Amazing.
So, which means she forced the man and his wife to go to trial without an attorney. gets better. About 10:45, during the beginning of the trial, when they were choosing the jury, I started sending notes to Mr. Victor. Now, remind you, I'd never talked to him. He had no idea who I was, but I was sending him notes about questions to ask prospective jurors. The judge breaks, recesses the court for 15 minutes at 10:30. I come back in at around 10:45, and from the bench, the judge says, Mr. Washington. Well, I kept walking to my seat because my name is not Mr. Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the bailiff tapped me on my shoulder, and he said, the judge is talking to you. And I said, no, my name is not Mr. Washington. And the judge says, well, that's not important. I am assigning you to assist Mr. Victor with his case. She didn't ask me. She didn't say, are you willing to? She said, I'm assigning you. I would like to point out, first, I had never met Mr. Victor. I had never talked to Mr. Victor. I knew nothing about Mr. Victor's case. But more importantly, I'm not an attorney.
Amazing.
Okay, gets better. So now we asked at lunch break, could we speak? We could not talk to him during lunch. We got 10 minutes a day to sit down and assist Mr. Victor with his case. They
wow,
wouldn't let us see him they wouldn't let us see him in the jail.
Mm-hmm.
None of that. And you know, like I said, hopefully you'll do a show maybe in the future talking about the specifics of his case. But what's really important today is March 18th. Because if we can get the judge to direct a verdict that says anybody with an open appeal is grandfathered in, Mr. Victor either gets a new trial or he gets set free. Either way, we can now bring national and international attention to his case because nobody will touch it, including the chairman of the Black Caucus, Congressional Black Caucus, Congressman Cedric Richmond, who told me when I was explaining this to him for 30 minutes, told me, well, don't worry, Judge Becknell has retired, so at least we don't have her as a problem anymore.
Yes, one of them. Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you one really important question. Have you talked to the ACLU on this?
We've talked to everybody down here, and everyone will tell you, because Mr. Victor and Mr. and Mrs. Victor were convicted of killing one of their children, and our 8-year-old M.L. Lloyd,
uh-huh.
Everyone, no one will touch this case. But the thing is that we had a Mr. Victor had a forensic person, you know, people that do autopsies. He had a forensic autopsy done on that child by a
uh-huh.
person who has a degree, who has degrees from Harvard, degrees from Columbia University, and some other Ivy League school. Dr. Velva Bowles, who said that the child did not die from a spanking or a beating. The child died from an undiagnosed asthma attack. And she no longer has a license for medical practice in the state of Louisiana.
They took her license?
But she has a degree. She's a doctor. She was a doctor with degrees from Columbia University, New York University, and Harvard University. But because she would not say that they beat that child, the state claimed that she was being disrespectful to a colleague, meaning the coroner, so they yanked her license. And that made her testimony it rendered her testimony unusable in the trial. So basically they said, we're not letting you in. Okay, keep in mind, and this is so very important, that Mr. Victor was the number one real estate developer in St. John the Baptist Parish. Number two was, I think his name is Dan Becknell, the husband of the judge. Mr. Victor filed for them for the judge to recuse herself. This is really interesting. Mr. Victor filed for the judge to recuse herself. Under Louisiana law, at that point, trial is everything is supposed to stop until the Louisiana Supreme Court rules on whether the judge should be recused. That was in 2014. We're in 2019, and we are still waiting on the Supreme Court to make a decision, but he's been convicted.
Amazing. Wow, who would believe this? Wow, this
Pastor Pickney, yeah. That is exactly what I said when the judge said to me, I'm assigning you to assist him with his case. Who's
wow.
going to believe this?
No, nobody's going to believe this. This is, wow, this is too far out there.
Mm. Well, we were there.
Yeah. One of the things that, who's going to be his attorney at his hearing on March 18th?
Okay, Pastor Pickney, can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
Oh, okay, great. I didn't know I was still on. I'm going to hit talk. Yeah, we have an attorney out of Baton Rouge.
Okay.
He's a young attorney, and I have not yet spoken to him, but he have met with Mr. Victor several times, and he was there for the hearing last week because they postponed the hearing because the prosecutors was not prepared to argue the the case. So I have his name written down, and I'm supposed to be calling him tomorrow morning to make sure that
right. Now you know that I'm going to be calling him too. I'm going to be calling him myself before the week is out. And let's talk. We're gonna talk and strategize and find out exactly where we're at and what we need to do. So So we have to stay on him too now. Don't because they probably is intimidating him because this is a big case.
Okay. I want to give you his name, Pastor Pickney. I can give you his name and number. If you want me to, I can give that to you offline, or I can give it to you now.
Give it to me offline. Well, you can even text it to me. That would be fine also because we know that we have a lot of listeners. We don't know who's listening, and they would love to maybe give him a call and intimidate him, threaten him because this is you're right, Belinda. This case is bigger than life.
Yes.
And what it does it exposes where you at. It exposed this country on a level that's never been exposed before. I tell you, you actually have something big here, bigger than life, and I'm excited. I know that this could be really something big. I can't wait to get down there so we can be there to support him, Mr. Victor. Because we need people. I'm going to see can I contact Jane Fonda and our good friend Danny Glover. See can we get them because we need some folks to come and we need some folks to be there. If nothing else, make a statement. If you don't have to go beyond the you can make a statement saying that maybe this is unheard of or stuff like that. I see it as a tremendous opportunity for us, the people, to really call out this system all over the country.
Right, Pastor Pickney, and I want to say this too, so that some of our listeners can hear. The non-unanimous jury scheme is what we're calling it. It would legally what they did was put this law in place so that it would legally reinforce slavery. Okay,
right.
it assured them of a conviction for blacks. Okay, because you already know initially the law allowed at least two blacks to sit on a jury panel, so that
right.
if you're a black person being tried, Huh?
You can't have three. Well, hold on. You can't have three blacks on the jury. You can only have two. Is that correct?
Two, right. That's what I'm saying. You can only
have two. That's the law. The law says,
right.
The law says you can only, in Louisiana, that you can't, even if three were selected, you can still, one of them got to get off because you can only have two people
mm-hmm.
that's black on that jury. What about a black, two blacks, and one Mexican? Is that possible?
Well, Pastor Pickney, we were successful in getting two blacks on Mr. Victor's panel, okay? And I think we had a black alternate juror. But this is what happened, okay? You know, and this been going on way for centuries. We already know that this law that Louisiana put in place, the non-unanimous jury, okay, was so that they can to assure them that they would lock up as many black people as they possibly could, Pastor Pickney. And that is a disgrace. And that's the reason why, you know, we're saying right now that not only that it's blatant discrimination that they did not make it retroactive, okay, and
mm-hmm.
They've been having it on TV almost every day this week. I just listened to an interview on TV last night where they had a radio host, a TV host, and a lawyer saying that that anyone that was convicted before January 2019, okay,
mm-hmm.
of a crime with this, you know. It does not apply. So what we're saying, even though they wrote that in the law, okay, and we passed
mm-hmm.
it, we were successfully got it off the books. But what we're saying that they still did not make it right because they should have made it retroactive for all the people like Mr. Victor that's on direct appeal, like Mr. Kelly just explained, that Mr. Victor have not been convicted of anything.
Mm.
Okay?
And
because
right,
he's in direct appeal. He's
right.
in direct appeal, and all the atrocities that went on in this man's case, Mr. Kelly is just giving you a tad bit, but Pastor Pickney, it was so much. It was so many things that went wrong, because even afterwards, when we, you know how you go afterwards and you pull the jury? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We pulled the jury. One of the people that was on the jury, okay, come to find out, they was related to the stepfathers, which was the son of Mr. Victor. See, we're not getting the whole story out because it's so much, Pastor Pickney. Mr. Victor wasn't even home when the child had the asthma attack. He wasn't even there.
Mm.
I forgot that. Yeah, he wasn't even there.
And they charged
wow.
him and his wife. They gave his wife 40 years, even after she admitted that she was the one that was trying to revive the child in that panic and tried to, get him the breathing and stuff back and trying to do things, you know, put the water on him and trying to, you know, how you trying to pat the child and make him catch
mm-hmm.
their breath or whatever. She was the one that admitted that she was the one that put her hand and tried to help the child. Mr. Victor, when he got there, they already had the child rushing him in the car to the hospital.
Mm.
And when they got the child to the hospital, the child was still alive.
Yeah.
And the killer to this whole thing is that before they had anything, they arrested Mr. Victor right there at the hospital before they even, right after they announced the child dead. How can you take somebody, took Mr. Victor straight to jail from the hospital?
Wow.
Without a determination of death from the coroner. You can't, because you can't say there was a murder unless you have the coroner saying it was a homicide.
Right, absolutely. I know that for a fact. You know, the coroner said it was an accidental death or whatever it might be, that's what it is.
Well, in the first case, Mr. Victor Warren, the judge came back and said that it was an accidental case. But then the district attorney turned around and they retried him and brought it back and put it in the front of another judge, which is this corrupt judge that Mr. Kelly is talking about that was the husband.
Judge Mary Cotard Becknell.
Yes. Say her name.
Mary Cotard Becknell.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
And then the other thing, and then this is so bad. This is what is just ridiculous. Mr. Victor was worth millions.
Yes.
Literally worth millions. He had just closed a $56 million deal on a strip mall. He had also had sold like.
It was like a 300-acre land development project. And Mr. Victor, you know, 18 of the Saints players. Okay, this is what Mr. Victor, he was connected to the New Orleans Saints, okay? Mm-hmm. He had 18 of those players that was financing his development.
Plus buying homes in the development.
And plus buying homes in the development.
Right, so Mr. Victor was the real deal. Okay, so Mr. Victor did not have medical insurance on his children because he didn't need to.
Mm-hmm.
So when he ran into the hospital with the baby, he said, "I'm responsible. Just save my child."
Because
mm-hmm.
you know how they try to get you at the front desk. They try to get you at the front desk and hope you croak while they're trying to get all of your ancestors' information. And Mr. Dickens said no. You know, he tried to stop him right there. He said, "I'll take all responsibility for any bills or payments or whatever. I want you to, you know, to help my child." Okay? So they took those words and twisted them and said that Mr. Victor was responsible for the child's death.
Amazing.
Pastor Pickney, this is a catastrophe of how me and Mr. Kelly and many others sat in that courtroom and observed. They even threatened to put me in jail because I refused
several
to let them put
Belinda,
a gag
several
on
times,
me.
Several times, Belinda, put you in jail because you did act a fool.
Well, in a situation... In
he
a situation like that, Pastor Pickney, I'm going to tell you, when you see somebody's life and you see a court and you didn't see it, Pastor Pickney, you know how these people treat you in the courtroom and try to lock you out of the courtroom. And I told them that the court belonged to the people. You
That's
cannot
right.
put me out this public courtroom.
Okay, I want
right.
to remind everybody, I would like to remind everybody that we were in St. John the Baptist Parish, Louisiana, and I was scared to death because I thought we were not coming home.
Wow.
You know, Mr. Kelly being nice about that, but it was several times when I handed my purse and my keys and my phone and told him to put my husband on speed dial, you know, call him from work if he had to come and get us out of jail, because that's just how bad it was. These people were so corrupt, and this kangaroo courthouse looked like a backyard bomb yard, okay, that they had, you know, slaves. You know, where they would keep the slaves at.
Wow.
That's how
tore
up the courtroom was. You know, people, you know, you look at all the excitement and all the stuff that go on the news and stuff, but if you come down here and visit some of these courtrooms that's back up in the woods, I'm going to tell you, it is like a horror story.
Wow, that is amazing.
And they lynching people. They are literally lynching people in the courtrooms.
And then the public
and threaten the public and telling the public that they cannot come into the courtrooms. It was so many times that, we don't need everybody in here. Y'all get out.
Wow.
Pastor, there was another thing, too. This was horrible. Mr. Victor went through about 7, 8, 10 attorneys because he refused to say that he killed his child. He was not going to do it. And they wanted him to take a plea. So there's this one, the last attorney had all of the case information. So Mr. Victor, on the first day of the trial, Mr. Victor asked the prosecution for discovery because he really had not seen it because his attorney would not give it to him. The judge said that the prosecutor did not have to give it to him because they had already given it to him. And so then he said, well, my attorney won't give it to me, and how do I deal with this case? And I don't know what they're talking about. She said, that's why I assigned Mr. Washington to your case, because he's going to help you with that. I spoke with the attorney who, by the way, when he recused himself from the case, because Mr. Victor would not pay him or could not pay him an additional $250,000, told him that I'm going, on the day that you're convicted, I'm going to wear my best suit and tell the judge to throw the book at you. Mm. He said that in open court.
Wow.
And then the judge would not subpoena the discovery for him. And you've been on trial before. You know how important that discovery is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Amazing.
So at that point in time, what we call it, Pastor Pickney, the fix was in.
Uh-huh. Oh, absolutely.
The fix was in. His own attorney had already kicked him under the bus.
Wow. Hey, Belinda, this might be an opportunity also for Mr. Victor to come on next week and talk a little bit about it.
Absolutely. We would definitely try to do that, Pastor Pickney, right now. That would be a excellent idea. If we can make that happen, I'm going to do everything in my power to do so. But I do know that after he went to his hearing on Monday of last week, that he tried to stay in La Place, which is where, you know, the courtroom and everything, the hearing was going to take place. That didn't happen until March, so they wanted to transport him back to Angola. And the last time, I have not heard from him as of yet, but I did talk to one of his sons, and they said that they had put him on lockdown. So, you know, I'm not sure.
What about his wife? Is she?
I have not heard. We have not heard anything from his wife. And right now, his wife is not on direct appeal. You know, he only focused on, you know, getting himself on direct appeal so that, you know, he can basically try and win this case to help her and many, many others.
Absolutely.
And that's what Mr. Kelly just explained, was that, you know, this case is an opportunity. You know, this is big for the thousands of people that are sitting in prison. So if it happens for Mr. Victor, we can imagine how it's going to take a ripple effect to help so many others. And this is the reason why we know that the state of Louisiana is shying away from, you know, of making it right. That's why we're saying that, you know, we're all for the unanimous jury decision. You know, we no longer have the 10-2, but now we're saying that it should be retroactive for the people that are on direct appeal, that
are
fighting for their life.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And here's my plan. I want you or Mr. Kelly or someone or Mr. Victor every week up until March 18th until I can get down there, that we're going to make sure that we keep the word out there. And I tell you, and I'm going to use my email system to spread the word. I'm going to ask the ACLU to come in and help that young man. Don't forget to send me that guy help on them and name the attorney. We got to talk with him because, believe me, these attorneys will take a dive in a second if they put enough pressure on them. So we got to be aware of that also. So I see this could be bigger than life because if we continue to fight, we can win this battle. So let's fight and win this. Mr. Kelly, thank you so much for coming on. And Belinda, I am excited. I'm telling you, I'm fired up because I think this is a golden opportunity to expose this system for what it really is.
Absolutely, Pastor Pickney. Thank you very
Pastor.
Much for allowing us to come on. And
Absolutely.
I know we're at the end of the show, but I want to say to all the listeners, if you can do anything to support Pastor Pickney to come down here and stand with us, we really need your help to send a donation to Banco. Bank is it Banco dot
yeah,
dot
Banco. Banco,
org?
Banco dot it's banco.org. You can send a bank and put if you put Mr. Victor's name on there or something like that, we'll make sure he gets it.
Okay. Well, we want them to support you, Pastor Pickney, because we're gonna need you down here for at least about a week or so.
Okay, well let's do what we got to do and let's make this thing happen.
All right, thank you so much. Thank you.
All right, man. All right. Listen, don't forget to send me that name and that telephone number. And make sure you talk to him tomorrow. If you talk to the attorney tomorrow, call me and let me know what he talked about so I can be prepared to deal with him.
Okay. Well, I'll try to either get you on the conference call or make sure we get Mr. Victor also to be a part of that conversation as well.
Very good. Let's do that. Listen, thank you so much. I really appreciate just the thoughts, but this is going to be a tremendous fight because it's not really just Mr. Victor. It's the whole prison system that we're going to be dealing with. So let's fight on.
Right, and we're saying we're going to fight until they get it right.
That's right. You said we are going to fight until we get it right. And unfortunately, I don't have any more time. Listen, next week, same time, same station. Those who I didn't get to, this was too much. And we had to expose the system, and we got to deal with this system. We got to put our arms around the throat of this system and choke this system until they get it right. On that note, I will talk to you all next week, same time, same station. Thank you for listening.